Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Tweet at us or just follow us or both. Twitter is at TNT Radio Empire. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Dave Landau with us, funnyboneomaha.com. One show tonight, two Friday, two Saturday, and then you're through Sunday, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Cool. And he's with us this morning and tomorrow morning hanging out with us. He tweets at Landau Dave. And he's hanging out this morning with us.
Yes.
And always loving our buddy Dave.
Omaha Film Festival is in town.
Oh, that's right.
Dave specifically requested.
What was your favorite movie of the year?
This date. Which one did you like? Man. Were you happy with the winners?
I did love Three Billboards.
Saw it. I haven't seen it yet.
I saw that.
Yeah. Did you not like it?
No.
I got to click on it. I got to check it out.
I really like
all the actors.
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
I think he was really good in that. I liked Get Out.
I saw Get Out.
Yeah, I liked a lot of them, man. Mm-hmm. I didn't see The Florida Project yet.
I want to see that. Willem Dafoe's great.
Oh, he's
fantastic. Yeah. You see The Florida Project, Carl?
Absolutely. It's great.
Is it good?
Okay,
that's right. You
good.
See everything. Okay.
Right. I can't remember if I saw that. I know it's on Amazon, but I can't remember if I watched
Colleen,
it.
Colleen, you saw all the ones nominated for Best Picture. Which one didn't you like that was nominated for Best Picture? If you saw them all, there was like 12, weren't they?
Yes. God.
Something you didn't like, right?
Like The Shape of Water just looked too weird for me. Did you like that?
It's strange. It's like Amelie meets the creature from the Dark Lagoon. It was shot beautifully.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did like it.
Are you hot for the fish in that? You get all hot and bothered?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of weird look. I saw the fish.
Yeah, well, I loved him.
I gave up.
You're hot for the fish.
Yet you understand.
You're hoping you're that maid?
The whole movie. I'm I hope somebody bangs that fish.
Right. But do you understand why the character falls in love with the fish?
It's Beauty and the Beast, isn't it?
Because she's a mutant wartime.
Look at her. Look at the actress who plays her. She plays a homely mute, right?
It's Beauty and the Beast, but it's kind of almost an allegory for interracial relations at that time.
Oh, was that time? Right. Yeah. Okay. So it's both. I got it.
Yeah.
All right. Allegory on this program came
out.
I appreciate that. So that was good.
Yeah, it was.
That looks interesting. I will check that out myself.
Daniel Day-Lewis was phenomenal.
Dressing movie? Okay.
And you make short films yourself?
I do a lot of sex tapes. They're just me and them, very unpopular. Zero.
Your buddy's rubbing your knees?
Yeah. It's me on ecstasy and a pacifier and a camera.
I'd watch that.
Three hits on YouPorn.
All thumbs down. You'll get six today. All three of us will click.
Yeah.
We'll click on those. Well, four. Yeah.
We'll double it.
Well, I do, I don't know if I can say prick, right?
Yes,
okay. Sure.
Yeah. I do a guy named Dino Landini. He's a character, and he sells his prick sauce around the country, which I just do as a dollar. It's like,
who is Dino Landini?
He's a homosexually repressed gangster.
Okay, how's
and
he sound?
And he's like, I go down on a guy, but not because I like the taste. It's because I respect him.
So that's your character.
So he invented prick sauce. So it takes the flavor out.
All right, that's enough.
So it's a prick covered in nice Sunday gravy.
Okay.
So that's your character.
That's one of the highbrow stuff I do.
It's very highbrow.
What's that an allegory for?
That's an allegory for wartime crimes. I do make movies. I made a movie called The King.
How short's the movie?
No, it's an hour and 20.
Okay.
Oh, this is actually a full-length feature film.
Yeah, this is a full-length feature.
Are you the star?
No, I have one line. I know my acting ability. I was with the Second City for many years, so I'm like, I will just do one line.
Okay, so you can't act?
Yeah, I can do voiceover.
Got it.
I did one for Ford, and then they found out about my DUIs, and I was no longer their voice.
Really?
Really.
Because what was Ford?
Yeah, it was.
You were the voice of Ford for a day?
Not for Ford, but like a commercial for them,
yeah.
And it was this rerun where they needed a real monotone guy to be like, oh, thanks.
Got it.
And I got a lot of money for it. But then they're like, yeah, we can't really use you because your criminal record.
And this was a national spot?
Yeah.
Really?
It was pretty cool, yeah. And
so
then
you
could have
been
it.
Dennis Leary.
I could have been Dennis Leary,
yeah.
Which that guy's fine.
Yeah.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah,
all he does is drink and smoke cigarettes.
Exactly. But no DUIs, probably. That might
probably
help.
Not, yeah. No. It usually is good when you haven't had three.
So you're in the movie for one. Are you the director and the cameraman, too?
Writer, producer, and assistant director.
It's called The King.
It's called The King.
Yeah, what's it about?
It is about a kid who gets his first car in the 90s, goes into the hood with three of his friends to get beer, and all hell breaks loose. And it's loosely based on different stories of my life.
Like obviously.
They got into 8 Mile to get a bum or PC,
uh-huh.
Homeless.
And you filmed it all in location?
We filmed it all in Detroit,
yeah.
We did it for $7,000 in 13 days. Because there's no
young actors just wanted to be in a movie.
Young actors, and you can film in Detroit anywhere you want because there's no cops.
Oh yeah,
and nobody stops you.
Yeah,
from filming.
Got it. So you just did it, and is it available somewhere?
Yeah,
it is.
Is it out there?
If you go to Amazon, you can buy the DVD. I also have it at shows, and you can look at the website movietheking.com, or actually DaveLando.com. If you hit the link, you can order the movie. And I love it. I'm really proud of it. It's a big part of my life.
When it was released?
15. It came out in 2015.
Okay. So has it been seen at a festival?
It was in a couple festivals. Uh-huh. It was in Troma Dance, the Toxic Avenger one. Uh-huh. It was in a couple Detroit film festivals. And then I kind of stopped submitting after that.
So you want to be so Bobcat could be a mentor for you. He's a comedian, also a filmmaker.
I love his movies.
And his movies are great, aren't they?
Yeah.
Lots of friends. So
I don't
cool.
think he's made a bad one.
Not
no.
either.
In my estimation.
No.
I agree with you. And I think World's Greatest Dad is
one of the best.
It's
so
excellent.
Powerful. Phenomenal. Yeah. It really talks about how people make death about themselves.
Have you seen Wolf Creek?
I did.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I liked it.
Willow.
I thought it was really
Willow. I'm sorry. Wolf Creek.
Willow Creek.
It's a
Creek.
Bar, I believe.
It's a golf course.
Or a bad day.
Or a store.
Yeah, you're thinking the Australian knife, the Australian movie where he's killing all the teenagers.
That's right. Willow Creek is a good movie.
No, he's thinking of a golf course outside of Mesquite.
Oh, really?
It could be. I am. You're right. I did drop that one. Have you seen Wolf Creek? It's a great course,
by
the way.
It's a great golf course.
And Willow Creek's a great movie from Bobcat.
Yeah,
so it's called The King. I want to watch it.
Okay. I will bring you guys DVDs of it tomorrow.
Do that.
I'd love for you to watch it.
I will
I love
watch
your
it.
Opinion.
Yeah.
It's trippy. It's funny. It's violent. It's everything that I enjoy put into a movie.
How tough is that? I mean, obviously, your stand-up's your main career. That's what you do.
Yes.
And what you do well. Do you want to get into that?
Yeah.
A la Bob, because Bob still does comedy. To pay the bills, but loves doing movies more.
Yeah, and he even said, and I even heard him in an interview saying, like,
you met Bob yet?
No, I never have.
Colleen's got to hook you up with Bob. I know you're both running different circles, and you're on the road all the time, but you'll be able to bend his ear, and he'll love it.
I'd be honored. Yeah. Like, well, I went to film school when I was at Second City right out of high school after 5 years, and I learned editing and everything, and, and I used to make movies in high school. Like, I made one was called, like, the Black Jean Scandal, where it was two rival gangs fighting each other.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And then they decided to just come after me, a guy named Pepe, who stole their jeans, and then they murdered me and threw me in the Detroit River.
All right, I got it. All right,
and just stupid stuff like that that kids make, you know?
Uh-huh.
But I was really happy once I wrote a movie, actually put it out there, and now I have, like, two or three different scripts that I've been working on, and
cool.
It's just, I really want to make something independent and low budget, and because with this movie, there's violence
on,
in it. Yeah, like, we had CGI. The guy who directed it used to work for Clint Eastwood, so we had a lot of access to, like, million-dollar machines, which is why we were able to actually make the movie.
Okay,
you know?
I was going
to
say, what kind of technology
insanely
is that
good.
Your fingers?
Yeah, insanely good. Like, So
better than you porn, basically. Better than your phone.
Slightly
yeah.
better. Like, not... Like, my movie's better if you're into, like, getting steamy.
Got it. All right.
So you didn't shoot it on an iPhone or...
No, which is weirdly a popular thing to do.
I've seen that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, they made a movie called Tangerine about a transvestite, and the entire thing was shot.
On an iPhone?
Yeah, on an iPhone.
With editing and everything.
Everything.
It's amazing what
you
do nowadays, right?
And I actually did just buy the microphone that they used and the Steadicam that they used for the iPhone.
There's a Steadicam for an iPhone?
Yeah.
So it hangs off your chest like the real Steadicam?
No, you just hold it.
You hold it.
It's like $45 and you're filming
it. And it stays, because, you know, when I hold my phone up to videotape my kids playing sports, my hand's shaking like a leaf.
Yeah, like I do that when I look in my neighbor's window.
Well, that's because you're moving.
And I'm scared.
Yeah, and you're naked.
That whole piece on CBS Sunday Morning this past week of the guy who invented Steadicam.
The Steadicam for an iPhone, though.
No, this is Steadicam. He invented it in general. He invented it for Rocky. so he could follow Sylvester Stallone around while he
That's
ran.
The one you see on the big that attaches to a guy's body. He walks with it, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You can, okay, but you can move with it, and the camera doesn't go up and down. It levels itself.
But I can buy one for my iPhone, right? For $40
yeah.
bucks. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine that guy, how mad he was at movies? Just like, why won't this be still? Just inventing it in his garage.
So that's cool. I'll check it out then. The King, available on Amazon?
Yeah, The King, it's available on Amazon, and it's one of those things. I sell it after shows, and I really just take donations for it. I just want people to have it, you know, and to get out there. And it's weird. I get probably two or three messages a week saying, hey, I watched your movie. It really reminded me of the 90s and growing up in that era. And
perfect.
It's cool, you know.
Yeah, Puss grew up in the 90s, right, Puss?
Yeah.
But not in Detroit. He grew
no.
up in
no.
Farm kids were fighting back in his area.
Similar.
Back in the day, yeah.
Farm kids definitely had had your guys' issues, though, with the e-boom, didn't you?
Well, I wasn't a farm kid. What, Puss is a farm kid.
Not
you
really.
A farm
I mean,
area.
Yeah,
farm
I mean, my parents were not farmers.
No.
But I lived in a small town.
I grew up in a rural part of America, but that was the 70s.
Right.
God, you're old.
I know. And you're my age.
Greg, join the program. What can we talk about that's in the news? Colleen's with us. Dave Landau's with us.
Give us something to chat about,
please,
Greg.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
It's Mickey Dolan's birthday today.
Love the monkeys. Love the monkeys. I found that last train to Clarksville, after all these years, is about Vietnam.
Is it really?
They did, you know, remember we talked to, who we talked to a couple weeks ago, who's coming to town at our concert with Brett.
Lita Ford.
That's a show on Access TV now. It's top 10 songs. This was top 10 songs Vietnam era last night.
Oh, yeah.
And
really?
Gimme Shelter, The Stones, Ohio, of course, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. And one was Last Train to Clarksville, the Boyce and Hart wrote for the Monkees. And it's an upbeat song, but the lyrics are about going off to war and you might not ever come home. And a lot of America at the time, and Colleen remembers this because she's a couple years older than us, that a lot of people were for the war still. So to get lyrics out for songs that were anti-war, they had to make them peppy. And Last Train to Clarksville is a peppy, great song.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But the lyrics are about going off to war. And you know, I mean, I don't know if I'm ever coming home.
Yeah.
If you listen to it, yeah.
That's cool.
Which I didn't even realize it. I've been singing that song for 50 years.
Well, hey, We're the Monkees is about the AIDS epidemic.
Little known fact. And ahead of its time.
Yeah, it was actually originally, around. Hey, it's the AIDS monkey. It was about patient zero.
Hey, it's the AIDS monkey. Yeah, that's exactly what
we're
it was
We're all
about.
Just AIDS monkeying around.
We're all just AIDS monkeying around.
That's crazy, though. I had no idea that was...
How old's Dolan's now?
70-some-odd.
All right.
Let me find the piece of paper, and I'll tell you for sure.
Yeah, just tell me for sure. Then.
73.
All right.
Clarksville, Tennessee, near Fort Campbell, Kentucky, the home of the 101st Airborne Division.
There you go. And the AIDS monkey. Hey, we're the AIDS monkeys. Is that what it was?
Yes.
Hey,
I'll
we're the AIDS
think
monkeys.
Never think of that the same. Well,
AIDS
monkey
around.
Thanks for ruining that day.
AIDS monkeying around.
Yeah.
Right. Way.
There was one monkey.
Way ahead of their time.
Way ahead of their. They didn't even know.
They
wasn't even
the
called Grid yet.
No.
they were anticipating it. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It was on this date in 1971, Radio Hanoi broadcast Jimi Hendrix's Star Spangled Banner.
Dude.
That tape sent in by Abby Hoffman.
You know, it's funny because everybody's so afraid of the national anthem anymore because the right wing has co-opted it. And the fact is, if that song comes out today, it's anti-American. I mean,
well, people said that at the time.
I know, but it's been around forever.
Now it has.
So now it's part of pop culture.
Yes.
The Hendrix version of a national anthem.
My uncle had the tape of that, and I used to listen to it when I was a little kid all the time. I just love the guitar.
It's a great version. Better than Fergie's,
obviously. He OD'd.
I can't imagine
people weren't offended by it.
They were at the time.
Hendrix's version.
But I'm talking about since it's in the past, now it'd be like, that's disgusting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, certainly.
It would be, it's disgusting.
Well, it's just there's no progression from that time to now.
No.
As far
not
as
when it comes to that.
Well, and that's just a version of it. I mean, that wasn't an anti-American thing.
Not at all. It was a cool version of it.
Yeah, it was just him playing a version of it.
Yeah.
And, I've always loved that version of it.
Yeah, it's a great version.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to experiment with that song. People get mad.
Well, look what happened to Fergie. And she sucked at it, but, you know. They just laughed at hers version, though, right?
Yeah.
It was like a laugh version.
I think they got mad at Roseanne because she was kind of mocking.
Well, she couldn't sing.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And she's the worst. I mean, her show's coming out. Yay. Dan's alive. Yeah.
She's from your neck of the woods, isn't she?
She's from Denver.
No, she's a Denver.
Denver.
Which begs the question.
Oh no.
Do you want to play Who's Taller?
With Mickey Dolenz or who?
Jimi Hendrix.
Ooh.
Hendrix.
Yeah, I'll go with Hendrix too.
Mm-hmm. Mickey, I'm going Mickey. Mickey's
not short, but I'll go with Hendrix.
I'm going Mickey because it's a question. And I feel like you should go with the one.
For some reason, I don't think
he doesn't give it up.
Hendrix is that tall. I'll go Mickey Dolenz too.
Jimi Hendrix is 5'11".
Okay.
Mickey might be 6.
No.
Mickey's 6.
Damn it.
Mickey was well, Davey was short one.
Both.
Davey was a land dog.
Taller than I anticipated.
Yeah.
Mickey was taller than I anticipated for sure. I thought he was less than 6 feet.
Yeah, there you go. Good one, Craig.
Yeah, I remember Jimmy being
no,
pretty tall.
Yeah.
Well, especially back then, that seems like 5'11 had to be pretty big back then.
It wasn't the 1800s.
That's true.
Right.
It was.
I know you're younger than us, but Colleen wanted to slap your ass.
I know. I saw the stare, and
everybody
I
was really short in '69.
Yeah. Well, I bet compared to now with all the growth hormones.
That's a good point. Right. Kids are bigger now. I'll give you that.
I have a 3-year-old that looks down on me.
That's tall for a paleo man.
Yeah, that is. That's a way back when.
Paleo man. Exactly.
For a man who used to put 100 hits of LSD into a headband so it's sweat into his brain.
Is that what you did?
No, that's what Hendrix used to do.
That's
he used to actually put LSD in his headband, wrap it around his head, and then walk out on stage so it would sweat right into his pores.
Oh, my God. Did you ever try that?
No, I would.
Yeah, you
I mean,
you
if,
would
if
would
I
up,
knew
mean.
At the time. Yeah. I wouldn't now.
No.
I wouldn't take acid now with a gun to my head. No. I'd be too... Like the reason I stopped was a perma trip. It went for 7 days, and I'm like, this is never going to end.
Oh,
and then finally it did.
Anything creative?
What'd you do in those 7 days?
Anything creative come as a result of that?
Scared.
Was anybody watching you to make sure you weren't doing anything weird?
No, I was having dinner with my parents trying to hide it and stuff.
For 7 days?
Yeah, I was like 18, and I didn't sleep for 2 days, and their faces were melting at dinner, and the food always looked small.
Man.
Yeah, I took.
Were your parents so unaware of you being high they couldn't tell?
No, one time my dad was in Nam.
Oh.
And he had when
everybody was by 5'4".
Yeah, my dad was 4'11" because it was back in the day, and he had Agent Orange from Vietnam, and he actually died of a brain tumor as a result
of
it.
Oh,
yeah,
geez.
And by the way, the VA worst people on earth, but we can get into that later.
Yeah.
So, he had a halo on one day, like a metal halo.
How old did he make it?
Into his head. He 52.
He only was 52 when he died.
Yeah, he died at 52.
Agent Orange killed him,
yeah.
Any government money at all?
No.
They denied it, right?
They denied it for as long as they could.
That's
and
right.
Now they say that my brother and I are too old to need it.
The even, money.
And, yeah.
I know. You're never too old.
Yeah.
And you lost your father at 52 because of the Vietnam War.
Yeah, when I was a teenager, yeah.
Right, okay.
And, I came in one day, and he had a halo drilled into his head. My dad was very aware of acid because he was at Nam and everything. Mm-hmm. And I walked in, and I, like, just looked at him, and I was tripping. And I'm like, whoa, how are you doing that? And he's like, what? I'm like, what's drilled in your head? What? Don't do that. Stop doing that. And he goes, damn it, are you on acid?
Damn it, are you on acid?
Yeah, he could just tell by my mannerisms and the way I was acting. And he just goes, go up to your room. He was furious because he did catch me on it.
Yeah. That was...
So after that, I was very careful to act normal, like, hello, parents. Had a jolly day in the schoolyard.
Did you ever admit to him that
that's
he was
not
right?
Not normal at all, by the way.
I did, yeah. I
remember
told
that
him
time?
The next day. Well, my dad knew. I would get DTs really bad.
If your dad was in Vietnam, he was a hip guy. He's seen it. He's seen it all.
Well, he helped me get off of DTs because I remember I was having real bad DTs. And I went in and I was like, hey, Dad, there's a room of people in our house, like the front room that was filled with people. And they weren't there.
They weren't there, obviously.
And he's like, yeah, that's called DTs because you're ruining your brain from drinking. And he's like, just sit down. And like he knew, yeah, I mean, he was a medic in Vietnam.
Oh, okay.
So after he was shot, he saw it all. Yeah, he came back as a medic. So his whole thing, he said most of the time it was just talking people down who were tripping or on heroin.
So you picked the wrong parents to get high
in front of. Yeah, I basically picked a drug nurse.
damn it. Are you on acid?
This
Get
is why we
here.
Enjoy talking to Dave, because it makes us feel like moderate drinkers.
Yeah, but he stopped. We didn't.
I know.
He stopped. Dave Landau, funnybone.omaha.com. Come on back.
You're listening to the Dodd and Tyler Radio Empire.